Turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 4 tonight. We started a little series last week on the responsibility that a pastor has when leading a church. I gave you an acronym last week. Does anybody remember what it is? TRIM. Okay, I gave you the letter T. Do you remember what the letter T stood for last week? Teach/teacher. Okay. One of the qualifications for a pastor is not only just to preach, but he is to teach. And hopefully you found that very interesting last week. Today we're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read 11 through 16. And I know we've hit this in our Sunday school time, but I'm going to be hitting this just a little bit different. I'm going to give you the other letter tonight. We know it's R. You ready for it? We'll hold up here in a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11 through 16, it says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, as we go through your word again tonight and we deal with the second qualification that a pastor, I don't know if he must have, but Lord, he should have these qualities within him. And so, God, I pray that this would be enlightening to your folks. Lord, as it really was enlightening to me as I've been going over this these last few weeks in this area. Lord, I know that we can all benefit from this tonight, and so I just pray that you just work and bless. Be with our pastor. Continue to give him strength, give him healing in his body. We ask that you just take his nauseousness away from him tonight, and we ask it in your name. Amen. Before I go on any further, my wife came home Sunday night while we were sitting at home. She goes, "Chad, did anybody talk to you about what you said Sunday morning during pastor's reading, reading the scriptures for pastor?" I said, "I already know what I did. I kept saying Ellie. Nobody said anything to me. I know it's Eli, but there's a reason why I kept saying Ellie. I spent 11 days with our tour guide in Israel, and it's spelled the same way, and that's just what automatically came to my mind every time I said that. And then once my mind is in a certain area, it's hard for me to fix it. So I know it was Eli. Just thought I'd let that out for you tonight. Well, let's go on here. Last week, we dealt with the letter T for the pastor, and that letter turned into the word teacher. The second letter that we are going to deal with tonight in this acronym TRIM is going to be the letter R, and what it stands for and the importance of this letter. Again, I hope you're going to find this very beneficial. We're going to look at the importance of a pastor, here's the word, being relational. Being relational. I'll say it again. The importance of a pastor being relational. Or you can use another word for that, and that would be someone who is able to connect with others. A pastor must be relational. A pastor must be willing to connect with others. And I'm not just talking about others outside of this church here. I'm talking about the church that God has called the pastor to minister to for however God sees them to be there. And I'll be honest with you, I've seen and I've heard of many pastors who are not relational, who have no idea what it means to connect with their people. And I'm going to explain this just a little bit as we go on in this tonight. First, let's take a look at what a leader is. I neglected to do this last week, but I'm going to do this tonight. They are called, a leader, or they're called by God to do his work. They're not called by man. They're called by God to do his work. They are leaders that maybe were perhaps not qualified to be leaders, but God chose them and set them in great works for this, to enhance his kingdom. That's why God chose leaders. Verse number 11, as it reads here, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. All those mentioned here tonight in verse number 11 are a form of a leader. And God has called them in many different areas in this. Of course, we know the role of an evangelist. You guys remember Brother Al Wells. I mentioned him last week. Brother Al Wells was an evangelist who would go from church to church, and he would preach the gospel, no different than the pastor would preach it, but he would probably have a little bit more fire and have a little bit more emphasis than the pastor would. And then there are some things that an evangelist can do that a preacher can do, and that's hitting on subjects a lot harder. They're able. It's funny that a church is able to take something from an evangelist, but if the pastor was to say something in the same form, they would become offended by it. But so evangelists are a little bit different in those areas. So we see here some pastors and some teachers. We need to have a clear understanding as we go along here that it is God who called man into the ministry. And some, I will say this, have a problem with whom God has called. Don't take that up with any other individual in the church. Don't take that up with me. Take that up with God, because God is the one who called them into the ministry. And the reason why some might have a problem with this, because some, it's because of pure jealousy. Some, it could be because of pure hatred, or it could be dislike for the individual that God has called. I will say this, not every missionary, not every evangelist, not every pastor is going to be liked by the people. I have yet to find somebody in my life that they're liked by every individual. It just doesn't happen. And so you're always going to have a Debbie Downer or a negative Nancy that's going to voice their opinion. The office of a pastor, I'll put slash bishop, is an exalted position. We must understand that it's an exalted position, which is why God calls him to that position. Man has no right to call another man to that position. It is one that should be respected, and is one that should be taken with great seriousness. That man that God has called will be held accountable for how he leads and how he teaches the flock that God has allowed him to partake in his life. The purpose of the offices here that are mentioned in verse number 11 are designed for the church for specific reasons. First, it's designed, as we read in verse number 2, it's designed for the perfecting of the saints. It's designed for the perfecting of the saints. The perfecting of the saints is this. It's to help the members understand that the process of, to help them understand the process of perfecting. It requires us to do this, to increase our faith in Christ. That's what it requires us to do. Follow the teachings of the apostles and of the prophets. And the third one is, and to protect ourselves from the wickedness of the world. And that's the, I would believe, should be the desire of the pastor as he gets into the office and he begins to pastor, he begins to preach, and he begins to teach for those reasons. The main goal here is to help equip the church. For what? As it continues to go on in verse number 12, for the ministry of God. We all need to be equipped to go into God's ministry. And so the pastor, as he begins to teach and as he begins to lead and as he begins to become more connected with the people, more relational with the people, he's going to equip God's people to go out and to do the ministry. Now, you've heard from this pulpit on many different occasions, it's not just the pastor's job just to go knocking on doors. But automatically, we think that's what the pastor's job is. No, you look in the book of Acts, and what did they do with those the men at that time? They appointed deacons to help take care of the needs of the church because they realized that they needed to put more time in preparation for God's word. And so it's not just up to the pastor to do those things. Matter of fact, we're all qualified and we're all equipped. We just don't realize it. Why? Because we don't really try to tap into our potential, plain and simple. And so as we continue to go on here, it's to help equip the church for the ministry of God. And then leaders, as they begin to equip, they're going to prepare and begin to mobilize the people to do what God wants them to do. Now, how is a pastor going to be able to get God's people to be able to do what they know that they should do? A pastor just can't get up here and begin to bully people around and say, this is what you're going to do because this is what I say. No, you must develop a relationship with God's people. I've heard from Brother Ron Todd, this is something that I'll never get out of my mind. I believe he said this here with you folks as well. You've got to create a relationship with the people that God has called you to. The people in Costa Rica are a little bit different than us. You just can't go around and begin to say, hey, you need to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Why? Because you're going to go to hell if you don't. Well, that's a big turnoff for people in Costa Rica. One, they don't know who you are. Two, they don't trust you. Three, you have no connection with them. And so you've got to begin to develop a relationship. And as you begin to develop that relationship with folks, you're going to help them prepare and mobilize to do the work of God for his ministry. Has been mentioned the last several weeks, the purpose is for all of us to be in unity with each other. Again, let me just go over a few things. Again, what causes a church not to be in unity? I'm not going to go over a lot of things tonight with that. But a church who has a member who seeks not to do God's will, while others seek and want to do God's will. So you got one group who doesn't want to do God's will. Then you got another group that wants to do God's will. And then when that takes place, what? There's no unity. But then here comes a pastor along, and he sees that there is a division on this side, and there's a division on this side. And then the pastor has to be able to bring both sides together to get them on a common ground. And how is he going to be able to do those things? One, as I've said it a little while ago, he must be relational. He must have a connection with the people. Now that we have established a better understanding of this passage, we will move on to the relational part. Also, not every pastor or teacher has this quality. It is something that should be learned over a period of time, but it is one that I believe that should be desired to have by every pastor, not just a pastor, but even our Sunday school teachers. We should have a desire to connect with the people that God has allowed us to give the Word of God to. We got to have a common ground. One of the things that I try to do, and I'm not very good at it when we go out door to door, I try to find something. I'll look around their yard, and just if I happen to see their garage and we happen to go in there, I try to find something that we can connect to and begin to talk about that. One of the times Jeff and I were out a few weeks ago when we were in Manawal area, there was a guy who had his garage door open, and he was working on a door. And guess what? Jeff automatically had a connection with that guy because there's construction involved in there. And so because of that, Jeff was able to talk to this dude a little bit better than I was able to talk to him. And finding that common ground, finding that connection between one another. There are many things that a Bible college doesn't teach. And many things are learned while doing the job. Some learning or some education will come from God, while others will come from the people that God has called you to. They will help you begin to learn some things. They will help you to begin to understand some things. And they will help you how to get to know them a little bit better. You all with me tonight? If you are, say amen. Amen. As I continue to go on this evening, as we move forward, I said just a little bit a while ago, I have known many great teachers/preachers, that didn't have a desire to be connected to his people. And they had some issues because of this. They could never make it in the ministry, one of them. Why? Because they didn't allow themselves to connect to God's people. I'm going to share something with you that was told to me years ago, and I actually shared this with Chris about a month ago. And we had some conversation about this. But I was told years ago not, listen to this, not to become friends with the people that God has called you to minister to. That came from a mentor of mine. And when I heard that, I'm thinking to myself, well, that kind of makes sense. But at the same time, I was kind of confused by the statement. I'm like, well, why wouldn't you want to be friends with your people? Why wouldn't you want to have a connection with them? Why wouldn't you want to develop love for them? And so I began to have this go back and forth in my mind. At that time, as I said, that statement really confused me. And the reason was this. If I cannot become friends and be connected to them, then how am I going to teach / preach to them? I mean, think about it. If I came up here every single week and did not develop a relationship with you folks, you would find it very difficult to be here, wouldn't you? You would say, man, this guy doesn't care about me. He doesn't care what I think. He doesn't care where I live. He doesn't care what kind of a car I drive. He doesn't care what kind of problems I'm having. He's totally disconnected. He'll go find himself in a corner sitting down. He'll go or finding some other way to skate away from people. No, you want to be able to connect to your people. And needless to say, the pastor that gave me that advice, obviously he went on to pastor his church for years. But here's what he had a problem with. He never connected with them. And because of that, they never really felt a genuine love from a pastor. You know tonight that our pastor has a genuine love for you folks. So much so that, as I told you this past Sunday, that it's bothering him that he feels like that he's not showing you the love that he needs to. And let me say this, because I've really thought about that since Friday night and since I said that this past Sunday morning. Do you realize he is showing us love by getting into his office still and preparing messages? Who can barely speak because of the oxygen that he's lacking at times, the vocal cord that has been paralyzed. But yet he does that for what? One, because he has a relationship with you. Two, he's connected to you. Three, he does it because he loves you. And I appreciate that so much. And with that being said, even with what he has been going through these past several years, he has shown us what it truly means to be worshiping God through the good times and through the bad times. When your health is up here doing really good, and then when your health is down here not doing so well. He has shown us what a true believer should be doing. And I appreciate that example. You guys have known this. Well, you haven't really known this. But the last 4 months, we've really had some really close calls with Pastor that we've kept from this church. And through it all, he still has a desire. Why? Because he's connected to you folks. So as we continue to go on with this, here's the problem that I've seen with this man. He was never able to be relatable with them. Even though he was a great man, even though he had some great messages, but he was never able to relate to them. But here's what happened at the end of his ministry. As he resigned from his church, they all parted ways. They all parted ways. Why? Because there was no real connection. He was missing out on that. As a matter of fact, I know this personally, when they see him or when he sees them, I should say that, when he sees them in a grocery store or another outing somewhere, he will go out of his way not to visit with them. Why? Because he never had a relationship with them. And that's sad. And you see that take place so often in a ministry. You know, there have been, I've heard many reasons for this. Most pastors do not stay in a church longer than 2 years. They usually end up jumping, going to another church to pastor. One is for this reason. One, because of the criticism that will come their way. They get tired of it. By the way, that's part of the job. You're going to be criticized. But some don't want to take it. Because some sit there and think, man, God called me into the ministry. Why am I going to put up with people criticizing my every move? And so they will leave because of that. Two, the second reason why they will take off is because of this. Because they have yet to connect to their people. And that's what takes place. To this day, as I'm talking about this this other individual, there is no love there. And I know that there is a lot of hurt feelings on the other on the part of the people that he pastored. And think about the confusion that they must have. Man, he was our pastor 25, 30, 35 years. But yet there's no love. When we see him, he goes out of his way so we don't have to talk to him, or he doesn't have to talk to us. You see the importance of a pastor being connected to his people? It is important. And so with that being said, it was and it still is very sad to watch this take place. If a pastor can never be relational to his flock, he will never be able to really pastor them. And in order to pastor people, what has to take place? You have to be connected. Where are some areas that we can describe tonight for a pastor to be connected? Well, here's one area that I can think of. When you weep, they weep with you. When you laugh, they laugh with you. When you struggle, they struggle with you. And how does that take place? By being connected to the ones that God has called them to. But it's sad to say that there are pastors that take the pulpit that are only there for one reason. And that reason is this: just to collect a paycheck. The congregation means nothing to them. They have no love for them. And all he's doing is just collecting a paycheck. Sure, you can get up to the pulpit and begin to spout off all of your knowledge. And a lot of preachers do that. They'll begin to spout off, hey, I know this, I know that, and you know very little. And they begin to puff themselves up. It's amazing how people love to build their own ego. I understand that part of it because there was a time in my life where I loved to build up my own ego. Now I spend a lot of my time carrying a pen around with me to deflate my ego. But we like to spout off all of our knowledge. Well, you can spout off all your knowledge all you want, but if you have no connection with the people, it's worthless, to be honest with you. If you have no heart for the people, listen to this, you'll have no church. And by the way, the church knows when you have a heart for them. The church knows when you desire to have a relationship with them. People want a leader/pastor who is going to connect, who is going to be relational with them, one who is going to love them, one who is going to care for them. By the way, why would you put yourself in a relationship if you know that the individual has no love for you? Think about that. I would have a hard time being a church member sitting underneath a pastor that has no love for me. I love the fact that we have that here, as I mentioned a few moments ago. They want someone who loves them. They want someone who cares for them. As I said a few seconds ago, they want someone who will weep for them. When this takes place in a church, you will have a church that will follow the pastor the way God intended it. That will take place. Again, as I said a few seconds ago, you can have all of the knowledge in the world, but if a pastor doesn't connect with his people, he has nothing. He has nothing. All he will have is employment. And how long will he have that employment? Who knows? Until the people finally figure it out and say, this guy doesn't want to make any connection with us. He doesn't want to relate to us. And it's time to show him the door. If you want to be an effective leader, you must learn how to connect with individuals. You can't disconnect yourself from them, but you must learn how to connect with them. Some people are born with a commanding presence that draws people in. I envy those people. My wife's uncle, he's got this I don't know what you call it, but people just want to be around him. They're drawn to him, and it's like he was born that way. Is when they see him, it's like, oh, Uncle Jay. You know, it's like they're drawn in into his presence. But he's got that ability that's able to draw people in. The fact is, as I go on, the fact is anyone can learn to communicate in ways that consistently build powerful connections. Everyone communicates. Do you realize that? Every single one of us communicate. It can be through the batting of the eyes. Matter of fact, spouses do that with each other. Especially when you're in a place and you don't want to stay that long. What's the guy normally do? My wife's like, what's wrong with your eyes? You know that commercial, blink twice if you're in danger? you know, we communicate in different ways. Jeff and I, when we're out mowing and we can't hear each other, mainly because of the machines, but two, we're getting older and our hearing's going. We're not admitting that, but I am tonight. When I get into a group of people, Jordan, he heard it tonight. He was saying something to me. Jeff's up here, and you guys are all talking. I'm like, what? What? And then he finally shut up, and then I finally got it. I had no idea. He was saying he has eagle eyes. But it took a few minutes for it to register. But we'll communicate through Jeff and I, through hand gestures, our body language. We're able to do those things. But few, as we communicate, but here's what happens. Few can connect. A good leader will try to find common ground. They will also try to capture your interests. I'm going to use Jeff real quick because he just happens to be in the view of my vision here. But he's been our youth leader here for a number of years now. Jeff has tried to connect with his young people. And I believe he's done a fantastic job. Again, that's something that he's able to do. He's got that natural ability. I don't have that natural ability. That's something that I have to constantly try to develop and to learn. But he's got that natural ability. He's got that natural ability to capture their interest as well. I don't have that. You guys probably already checked out of here 25 minutes ago. Some of you have. Some of you are still with me. But as they connect, as they capture their interest, they will also try to inspire. They will also try to stay authentic in all relationships, meaning they love everybody equally. They don't prefer to be around somebody else, and somebody else they neglect. They try to stay authentic. But a pastor should have a desire to develop relationships with people that he has been called to. Could you imagine, think about this, I know I've said this a few times, but could you imagine having a pastor that will hide from people? I do know some pastors who have built steps behind their pulpits so that when they get done, they can leave automatically. Some have done it because they have other issues, stomach issues, and that's their fastest escape. But some have done that purposely so that they can get out and not have a connection. I have also known pastors who will wait till the very last second to come into the auditorium when the church starts. I have seen some that will walk down through the second song of the congregation so they can avoid talking to people. Well, what's their problem? They can't relate. They cannot connect to them. So could you imagine having a pastor that will hide from you, never wanting to have fellowship with you? Think about this. Pastors usually schedule potluck dinners, and what do they do it for? They schedule it for fellowship. But could you imagine a pastor scheduling a potluck dinner for fellowship and he never shows up? Or if he does show up, he'll stay away from the people, never allowing himself to connect. I hope that you're getting the importance of why a pastor needs to be relational to his people. A leader must connect by showing that he cares for the people. Without a solid foundation, a leader will struggle. But a strong foundation begins with a right heart. The heart of a leader is everything. And it's also the lifeline to the leader's health. When our hearts are muddy, the foundation rocky, our ability to inspire and lead others will suffer. And people will feel it. This is why it's important to examine our hearts, to be open and to be honest. So you might ask a question, so why do pastors lead? Why do pastors want to connect? I shouldn't say all pastors, because not all pastors want to connect. Not all pastors want to be relational. But they do it for this reason. They lead others to serve God for the greater good. Leadership begins and ends with a heart that yields to the Father. Leadership should never be about status. Look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Look how many people that are following me. I've been to quite a few fellowship gatherings with preachers, and it becomes nothing but a brag session. Matter of fact, I've got rid of a few on Facebook because I'm tired of seeing how they're bragging. It's good that things are happening in church. I'm happy for them. But you can tell when it's bragging. You can tell when it's to glorify themselves and not to glorify God. You can read right through those things. But it should always be about serving others for the greater good. In order to connect or to be relational to others in the church, here's what a pastor must learn how to do. And this is something that a lot of men struggle with. And some don't even do this. Some will get up there, and as I said earlier, they'll browbeat you, they'll bully you. But here's something that they don't do. They don't lift a finger to serve you. A pastor must learn how to serve others. And when he learns how to be a servant to others, there will be this connection that will take place between the pastor and the person that sits in the pew. A pastor must learn how to serve others. By serving others, hopefully this will begin the process of being connected to believers in the church. It's taken me a while to figure this out, but I know why pastor has me shaking hands at the back door with him. Because it's something that he has figured out years ago. Because that's his time to connect to you. whether it be for a few seconds, whether it be for a few moments, he's taken that time to connect with you. And I'll be honest with you, it has been a joy to sit back there with him to develop relationships with folks in his church. Some want it, some don't want it. But it happens by serving others. And as that begins to develop, you're able to pick up on a conversation from last week and continue it. It's pretty neat how that works. Some's just a handshake, in and out, that's fine. Some will tell me some things and say some things and ask for prayer for things, and that's great. But please understand this. It's not being done to be shoved down your throats. It's being done so it could be a help to me, so that I can have that connection with people. A pastor must connect with his people. He must be relational. Without it, you just have another guy that's standing in the pulpit. Do you know why we love Brother Ziner so much? Do you know why for years a lot of you folks don't even remember Brother Kimmel? Do you know why we love those guys so much? Do you know why we still talk about Al Wells? And he's been gone for almost 20 years. I can't believe how long he's almost been gone. Do you know why we talk about him from the pulpit quite often? Why you people, even in your testimonies, will say some things sometime? Do you know why we talked about Nick Zarella for a few weeks after he was gone? It's because they connected with us. They see the importance. See, it's so easy to disconnect, but it's very hard to connect. But we all can do it. By how? Asking God to give us the ability to do so. It's no different than asking for wisdom. If we lack it, what do? We ask for it. And that's been my biggest fear, I'll be honest with you. My biggest fear is going back there, shaking hands, and connecting. And I'm going to tell you why it's my fear. And I'm telling you this for a reason, so you can help pray for me in this area. The people that you connect to the most are the ones that hurt you the most. And so I don't want that fear to win in my life. I hope you understand where I'm coming from with that. So that being said tonight, let's have a word of prayer. Thank you for your attention tonight. And we'll be dismissed. Lord, I thank you for your word that you've given us. Lord, there are many qualifications that a pastor should possess while he's in the pulpit. Lord, one of them, as we looked at last week, is to be a teacher. Lord, as we looked at tonight, one who needs to be relational to his people. There must be a connection. They must have a heart for the people, a love for the people that you have called them to. Lord, I just want to say thank you, first of all, for, Lord, I know I've said it many times, and Lord, people might get sick of hearing me say this, but I'm thankful for a pastor you've given us. For 48 and a half years, while some just will come for a paycheck, be here 2-3 years and gone. But 48 and a half years, he's here for this reason. Because he's connected not only to you, but he's connected with your people. Lord, help us to have that same desire with one another. Not just the pastor being in connection, but Lord, help us to be in connection with each other. We ask it in your name. Amen. And I hope you're going to find this very beneficial. We're going to look at the importance of a pastor, here's the word, being relational. Being relational. I'll say that again. The importance of a pastor being relational. Or you can use another word for that, and that would be someone who is able to connect with others. A pastor must be relational. A pastor must be willing to connect with others. And I'm not just talking about others outside of this church here. I'm talking about the church that God has called the pastor to minister to for however God sees him to be there. And I'll be honest with you, I've seen and I've heard of many pastors who are not relational, who have no idea what it means to connect with their people. And I'm going to explain this just a little bit as we go on in this tonight. First, let's take a look at what a leader is. I neglected to do this last week, but I'm going to do this tonight. They are called, a leader, or they're called by God to do his work. They're not called by man. They're called by God to do his work. They are leaders that maybe were perhaps not qualified to be leaders, but God chose them and set them in great works for this, to enhance his kingdom. That's why God chose leaders. Verse number 11, as it reads here, it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." All those mentioned here tonight in verse number 11 are a form of a leader. And God has called them in many different areas in this. Of course, we know the role of an evangelist. You guys remember Brother Al Wells. I mentioned him last week. Brother Al Wells was an evangelist who would go from church to church, and he would preach the gospel, no different than the pastor would preach it, but he would probably have a little bit more fire and have a little bit more emphasis than the pastor would. And then there are some things that an evangelist can do that a preacher can do. And that's hitting on subjects a lot harder. They're able. It's funny that a church is able to take something from an evangelist, but if the pastor was to say something in the same form, they would become offended by it. But so evangelists are a little bit different in those areas. So we see here some pastors and some teachers. We need to have a clear understanding as we go along here that it is God who called man into the ministry. And some, I will say this, have a problem with whom God has called. Don't take that up with any other individual in the church. Don't take that up with me. Take that up with God. Because God is the one who called them into the ministry. And the reason why some might have a problem with this, because some, it's because of pure jealousy. Some, it could be because of pure hatred, or it could be dislike for the individual that God has called. I will say this, not every missionary, not every evangelist, not every pastor is going to be liked by the people. I have yet to find somebody in my life that they're liked by every individual. It just doesn't happen. And so you're always going to have a Debbie Downer or a negative Nancy that's going to voice their opinion. The office of a pastor, I'll put slash bishop, is an exalted position. We must understand that it's an exalted position, which is why God calls him to that position. Man has no right to call another man to that position. It is one that should be respected, and is one that should be taken with great seriousness. That man that God has called will be held accountable for how he leads and how he teaches the flock that God has allowed him to partake in his life. The purpose of the offices here that are mentioned in verse number 11 are designed for the church for specific reasons. First, it's designed, as we read in verse number 2, it's designed for the perfecting of the saints. It's designed for the perfecting of the saints. The perfecting of the saints is this. It's to help the members understand that the process of, to help them understand the process of perfecting. It requires us to do this, to increase our faith in Christ. That's what it requires us to do. Follow the teachings of the apostles and of the prophets. And the third one is, and to protect ourselves from the wickedness of the world. And that's the, I would believe, should be the desire of the pastor as he gets into the office and he begins to pastor, he begins to preach, and he begins to teach for those reasons. The main goal here is to help equip the church. For what? as it continues to go on in verse number 12, for the ministry of God. We all need to be equipped to go into God's ministry. And so the pastor, as he begins to teach and as he begins to lead, and as he begins to become more connected with the people, more relational with the people, he's going to equip God's people to go out and to do the ministry. Now, you've heard from this pulpit on many different occasions, it's not just a pastor's job just to go knocking on doors. But automatically, we think that's what the pastor's job is. No, you look in the book of Acts, and what did they do with those the men at that time? They appointed deacons to help take care of the needs of the church because they realized that they needed to put more time in preparation for God's word. And so it's not just up to the pastor to do those things. Matter of fact, we're all qualified and we're all equipped. We just don't realize it. Why? Because we don't really try to tap into our potential, plain and simple. And so as we continue to go on here, it's to help equip the church for the ministry of God. And then leaders, as they begin to equip, they're going to prepare and begin to mobilize the people to do what God wants them to do. Now, how is a pastor going to be able to get God's people to be able to do what they know that they should do? A pastor just can't get up here and begin to bully people around and say, this is what you're going to do because this is what I say. No, you must develop a relationship with God's people. I've heard from Brother Ron Todd, this is something that I'll never get out of my mind. I believe he said this here with you folks as well. You've got to create a relationship with the people that God has called you to. The people in Costa Rica are a little bit different than us. You just can't go around and begin to say, hey, you need to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Why? Because you're going to go to hell if you don't. Well, that's a big turnoff for people in Costa Rica. One, they don't know who you are. Two, they don't trust you. Three, you have no connection with them. And so you've got to begin to develop a relationship. And as you begin to develop that relationship with folks, you're going to help them prepare and mobilize to do the work of God for his ministry. Has been mentioned the last several weeks, the purpose is for all of us to be in unity with each other. Again, let me just go over a few things. Again, what causes a church not to be in unity? I'm not going to go over a lot of things tonight with that. But a church who has a member who seeks not to do God's will, while others seek and want to do God's will. So you got one group who doesn't want to do God's will, then you got another group that wants to do God's will, and then when that takes place, what? There's no unity. But then here comes a pastor along, and he sees that there's a division on this side, and there's a division on this side, and then the pastor has to be able to bring both sides together to get them on a common ground. And how is he going to be able to do those things? One, as I've said it a little while ago, he must be relational. He must have a connection with the people. Now that we have established a better understanding of this passage, we will move on to the relational part. Also, not every pastor or teacher has this quality. It is something that should be learned over a period of time, but is one that I believe that should be desired to have by every pastor, not just a pastor, but even our Sunday school teachers. We should have a desire to connect with the people that God has allowed us to give the Word of God to. We got to have a common ground. One of the things that I try to do, and I'm not very good at it when we go out door to door, I try to find something. I'll look around their yard, and just if I happen to see their garage and we happen to go in there, I try to find something that we can connect to and begin to talk about that. One of the times Jeff and I were out a few weeks ago when we were in Manawal area, there was a guy who had his garage door open, and he was working on a door. And guess what? Jeff automatically had a connection with that guy, because there's construction involved in there. And so because of that, Jeff was able to talk to this dude a little bit better than I was able to talk to him. And finding that common ground, finding that connection between one another. There are many things that a Bible college doesn't teach. And many things are learned while doing the job. Some learning or some education will come from God, while others will come from the people that God has called you to. They will help you begin to learn some things. They will help you to begin to understand some things. And they will help you how to get to know them a little bit better. You all with me tonight? If you are, say amen. As I continue to go on this evening, as we move forward, I said just a little bit a while ago, I have known many great teachers / preachers that didn't have a desire to be connected to his people. And they had some issues because of this. They could never make it in the ministry, one of them. Why? Because they didn't allow themselves to connect to God's people. I'm going to share something with you that was told to me years ago, and I actually shared this with Chris about a month ago. And we had some conversation about this. But I was told years ago not to become friends with the people that God has called you to minister to. That came from a mentor of mine. And when I heard that, I'm thinking to myself, well, that kind of makes sense. But at the same time, I was kind of confused by the statement. I'm like, well, why wouldn't you want to be friends with your people? Why wouldn't you want to have a connection with them? Why wouldn't you want to develop love for them? And so I began to have this go back and forth in my mind. At that time, as I said, that statement really confused me. And the reason was this. If I cannot become friends and be connected to them, then how am I going to teach / preach to them? I mean, think about it. If I came up here every single week and did not develop a relationship with you folks, you would find it very difficult to be here, wouldn't you? You would say, man, this guy doesn't care about me. He doesn't care what I think. He doesn't care where I live. He doesn't care what kind of a car I drive. He doesn't care what kind of problems I'm having. He's totally disconnected. He'll go find himself in a corner sitting down. He'll go or finding some other way to skate away from people. No, you want to be able to connect to your people. And needless to say, the pastor that gave me that advice, obviously he went on to pastor his church for years, but here's what he had a problem with. He never connected with them. And because of that, they never really felt a genuine love from a pastor. You know tonight that our pastor has a genuine love for you folks. So much so that, as I told you this past Sunday, that it's bothering him that he feels like that he's not showing you the love that he needs to. And let me say this, because I've really thought about that since Friday night and since I said that this past Sunday morning. Do you realize he is showing us love by getting into his office still and preparing messages? Who can barely speak because of the oxygen that he's lacking at times, the vocal cord that has been paralyzed. But yet he does that for what? One, because he has a relationship with you. Two, he's connected to you. Three, he does it because he loves you. And I appreciate that so much. And with that being said, even with what he has been going through these past several years, he has shown us what it truly means to be worshiping God through the good times and through the bad times. When your health is up here doing really good, and then when your health is down here not doing so well. He has shown us what a true believer should be doing. And I appreciate that example. You guys have known this. Well, you haven't really known this. But the last 4 months, we've really had some really close calls with Pastor. that we've kept from this church. And through it all, he still has a desire. Why? Because he's connected to you folks. So as we continue to go on with this, here's the problem that I've seen with this man. He was never able to be relatable with them. Even though he was a great man, even though he had some great messages, but he was never able to relate to them. But here's what happened at the end of his ministry. As he resigned from his church, they all parted ways. They all parted ways. Why? Because there was no real connection. He was missing out on that. As a matter of fact, I know this personally, when they see him or when he sees them, I should say that, when he sees them in a grocery store or another outing somewhere, he will go out of his way not to visit with them. Why? Because he never had a relationship with them. And that's sad. And you see that take place so often in a ministry. You know, there have been, I've heard many reasons for this. Most pastors do not stay in a church longer than 2 years. They usually end up jumping, going to another church to pastor. One is for this reason. One, because of the criticism that will come their way. They get tired of it. By the way, that's part of the job. You're going to be criticized. But some don't want to take it. Because some sit there and think, man, God called me into the ministry. Why am I going to put up with people criticizing my every move? And so they will leave because of that. Two, the second reason why they will take off is because of this. Because they have yet to connect to their people. And that's what takes place. To this day, as I'm talking about this this other individual, there is no love there. And I know that there is a lot of hurt feelings on the other on the part of the people that he pastored. And think about the confusion that they must have. Man, he was our pastor 25, 30, 35 years. But yet there's no love. When we see him, he goes out of his way so we don't have to talk to him, or he doesn't have to talk to us. You see the importance of a pastor being connected to his people? It is important. And so with that being said, it was and it still is very sad to watch this take place. If a pastor can never be relational to his flock, he will never be able to really pastor them. And in order to pastor people, what has to take place? You have to be connected. Where are some areas that we can describe tonight for a pastor to be connected? Well, here's one area that I can think of. When you weep, they weep with you. When you laugh, they laugh with you. When they struggle, when you struggle, they struggle with you. And how does that take place? By being connected to the ones that God has called them to. But it's sad to say that there are pastors that take the pulpit that are only there for one reason. And that reason is this: just to collect a paycheck. The congregation means nothing to them. They have no love for them. And all he's doing is just collecting a paycheck. Sure, you can get up to the pulpit and begin to spout off all of your knowledge. And a lot of preachers do that. They'll begin to spout off, hey, I know this, I know that, and you know very little. And they begin to puff themselves up. It's amazing how people love to build their own ego. I understand that part of it because there was a time in my life where I loved to build up my own ego. Now I spend a lot of my time carrying a pen around with me to deflate my ego. But we like to spout off all of our knowledge. Well, you can spout off all your knowledge all you want, but if you have no connection with the people, it's worthless, to be honest with you. If you have no heart for the people, listen to this, you'll have no church. And by the way, the church knows when you have a heart for them. The church knows when you desire to have a relationship with them. People want a leader slash pastor who is going to connect, who is going to be relational with them, one who is going to love them, one who is going to care for them. By the way, why would you put yourself in a relationship if you know that the individual has no love for you? Think about that. I would have a hard time being a church member sitting underneath a pastor that has no love for me. I love the fact that we have that here, as I mentioned a few moments ago. They want someone who loves them. They want someone who cares for them. As I said a few seconds ago, they want someone who will weep for them. When this takes place in a church, you will have a church that will follow the pastor the way God intended it. That will take place. Again, as I said a few seconds ago, you can have all of the knowledge in the world, but if a pastor doesn't connect with his people, he has nothing. He has nothing. All he will have is employment. And how long will he have that employment? Who knows? Until the people finally figure it out and say, this guy doesn't want to make any connection with us. He doesn't want to relate to us. And it's time to show him the door. If you want to be an effective leader, you must learn how to connect with individuals. You can't disconnect yourself from them, but you must learn how to connect with them. Some people are born with a commanding presence that draws people in. I envy those people. My wife's uncle, he's got this I don't know what you call it, but people just want to be around him. They're drawn to him, and it's like he was born that way. Is when they see him, it's like, oh, Uncle Jay. You know, it's like they're drawn in into his presence. But he's got that ability that's able to draw people in. The fact is, as I go on, the fact is anyone can learn to communicate in ways that consistently build powerful connections. Everyone communicates. Do you realize that? Every single one of us communicate. It can be through the batting of the eyes. Matter of fact, spouses do that with each other. Especially when you're in a place and you don't want to stay that long. What's the guy normally do? My wife's like, what's wrong with your eyes? You know that commercial, blink twice if you're in danger? you know, we communicate in different ways. Jeff and I, when we're out mowing and we can't hear each other, mainly because of the machines, but two, we're getting older and our hearing's going. We're not admitting that, but I am tonight. When I get into a group of people, Jordan, he heard it tonight. He was saying something to me. Jeff's up here and you guys are all talking. I'm like, what? What? And then he finally shut up and then I finally got it. I had no idea he was saying he has eagle eyes. But it took a few minutes for it to register. But we'll communicate through Jeff and I, through hand gestures, our body language. We're able to do those things. But few, as we communicate, but here's what happens. Few can connect. A good leader will try to find common ground. They will also try to capture your interests. I'm going to use Jeff real quick because he just happens to be in the view of my vision here. But he's been our youth leader here for a number of years now. Jeff has tried to connect with his young people. And I believe he's done a fantastic job. Again, that's something that he's able to do. He's got that natural ability. I don't have that natural ability. That's something that I have to constantly try to develop and to learn. But he's got that natural ability. He's got that natural ability to capture their interest as well. I don't have that. You guys probably already checked out of here 25 minutes ago. Some of you have. Some of you are still with me. But as they connect, as they capture their interest, they will also try to inspire. They will also try to stay authentic in all relationships, meaning they love everybody equally. They don't prefer to be around somebody else, and somebody else they neglect. They try to stay authentic. But a pastor should have a desire to develop relationships with people that he has been called to. Could you imagine, think about this, I know I've said this a few times, but could you imagine having a pastor that will hide from people? I do know some pastors who have built steps behind their pulpits so that when they get done, they can leave automatically. Some have done it because they have other issues, stomach issues, and that's their fastest escape. But some have done that purposely so that they can get out and not have a connection. I have also known pastors who will wait till the very last second to come into the auditorium when the church starts. I have seen some that will walk down through the second song of the congregation so they can avoid talking to people. Well, what's their problem? They can't relate. They cannot connect to them. So could you imagine having a pastor that will hide from you, never wanting to have fellowship with you? Think about this. Pastors usually schedule potluck dinners, and what do they do it for? They schedule it for fellowship. But could you imagine a pastor scheduling a potluck dinner for fellowship, and he never shows up? Or if he does show up, he'll stay away from the people, never allowing himself to connect. I hope that you're getting the importance of why a pastor needs to be relational to his people. A leader must connect by showing that he cares for the people. Without a solid foundation, a leader will struggle. But a strong foundation begins with a right heart. The heart of a leader is everything. And it's also the lifeline to the leader's health. When our hearts are muddy, the foundation rocky, our ability to inspire and lead others will suffer. And people will feel it. This is why it's important to examine our hearts, to be open and to be honest. So you might ask a question, so why do pastors lead? Why do pastors want to connect? I shouldn't say all pastors, because not all pastors want to connect. Not all pastors want to be relational. But they do it for this reason. They lead others to serve God for the greater good. Leadership begins and ends with a heart that yields to the Father. Leadership should never be about status. Look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Look how many people that are following me. I've been to quite a few fellowship gatherings with preachers, and it becomes nothing but a brag session. Matter of fact, I've got rid of a few on Facebook because I'm tired of seeing how they're bragging. It's good that things are happening in church. I'm happy for them. But you can tell when it's bragging. You can tell when it's to glorify themselves and not to glorify God. You can read right through those things. But it should always be about serving others for the greater good. In order to connect or to be relational to others in the church, here's what a pastor must learn how to do. And this is something that a lot of men struggle with. And some don't even do this. Some will get up there, and as I said earlier, they'll browbeat you. They'll bully you. But here's something that they don't do. They don't lift a finger to serve you. A pastor must learn how to serve others. And when he learns how to be a servant to others, there will be this connection that will take place between the pastor and the person that sits in the pew. A pastor must learn how to serve others. By serving others, hopefully this will begin the process of being connected to believers in the church. It's taken me a while to figure this out, but I know why pastor has me shaking hands at the back door with him. Because it's something that he has figured out years ago. Because that's his time to connect to you. Whether it be for a few seconds, whether it be for a few moments, he's taken that time to connect with you. And I'll be honest with you, it has been a joy to sit back there with him to develop relationships with folks in his church. Some want it, some don't want it. But it happens by serving others. And as that begins to develop, you're able to pick up on a conversation from last week and continue it. It's pretty neat how that works. Some's just a handshake, in and out, that's fine. Some will tell me some things and say some things and ask for prayer for things, and that's great. But please understand this. It's not being done to be shoved down your throats. It's being done so it could be a help to me, so that I can have that connection with people. A pastor must connect with his people. He must be relational. Without it, you just have another guy that's standing in the pulpit. Do you know why we love Brother Ziner so much? Do you know why for years a lot of you folks don't even remember Brother Kimmel? Do you know why we love those guys so much? Do you know why we still talk about Al Wells? And he's been gone for almost 20 years. I can't believe how long he's almost been gone. Do you know why we talk about him from the pulpit quite often? Why you people, even in your testimonies, will say some things sometime? Do you know why we talked about Nick Zarella for a few weeks after he was gone? It's because they connected with us. They see the importance. See, it's so easy to disconnect, but it's very hard to connect. But we all can do it. By how? Asking God to give us the ability to do so. It's no different than asking for wisdom. If we lack it, what do? We ask for it. And that's been my biggest fear, I'll be honest with you. My biggest fear is going back there, shaking hands, and connecting. And I'm going to tell you why it's my fear. And I'm telling you this for a reason, so you can help pray for me in this area. The people that you connect to the most are the ones that hurt you the most. And so I don't want that fear to win in my life. I hope you understand where I'm coming from with that. So that being said tonight, let's have a word of prayer. Thank you for your attention tonight. And we'll be dismissed. Lord, I thank you for your word that you've given us. Lord, there are many qualifications that a pastor should possess while he's in the pulpit. Lord, one of them, as we looked at last week, is to be a teacher. Lord, as we looked at tonight, one who needs to be relational to his people. There must be a connection. They must have a heart for the people, a love for the people that you have called them to. Lord, I just want to say thank you, first of all, for, Lord, I know I've said it many times, and Lord, people might get sick of hearing me say this, but I'm thankful for a pastor you've given us for 48 and a half years. While some just will come for a paycheck, be here 2-3 years and gone. But 48 and a half years, he's here for this reason. Because he's connected not only to you, but he's connected with your people. Lord, help us to have that same desire with one another. Not just a pastor being in connection, but Lord, help us to be in connection with each other. We ask it in your name. Amen.